Okay, so let me introduce my collaborators. So Bowen Shi from UC San Diego, he's a postdoc, and then Jonathan Sauce, he's a PhD student at Stanford, and he already gets into MIT as a postdoc. And then Ian Lim, he's a graduate student of ISAC. And this talk is very broad, but I want to introduce the talk by like condensed matter motivation, since I guess most of the audience are condensed matter. So like in condensed matter, we really want to calculate in a universality class. We want to see how the IR properties emerge from the UV properties. And the model is that eat from qubit, and of course this is a quantum gravity model, but you know, like in condensed matter, it's the same. Like you have a bunch of qubit system, but then you want to see the emergence of long range properties. And an example would be that, like on the lattice, what you have is a lattice model, and then you can observe some wave functions, correlation functions, or entanglement. But these are just on the lattice level. Ultimately, what you want is the IR data, which includes conformal data if you have a CFT in IR, or like modular tensor category, which encodes anion data, like anion fusions and gradings, like if your IR theory is a topological quantum field theory. And also, in some cases, you can characterize your IR theory by emergent geometry, like which is the theme of ADS-CFT. And in this talk, I will talk about all three. But let me first be more specific, like on one thing, which is 2+1 D topological order. And of course, we have many understanding of topological phases, but here I will specify myself to Gapspock. I think there are progress for gapless theories, but I will not talk about it. So for 2+1 D topological phases, we can have two classification into two classes. One is gappable, one is ungappable, and this gappable and ungappable, they refer to edge theory. The bulk is always gapped. And it's believed that like all gappable topological phases are characterized by string net states. So they are completely classified. And then there are ungappable topological phases, and then on the edge, there is some CFT, and there are two classes. One is non-chiral, and the other is chiral. And in this talk, I will talk about chiral edge states. And one most prominent example would be that like the quantum Hall state, where you put a magnetic flux through an induction gas, and then you will observe, like this is a semi-classical picture, like you will observe orbitals in the bulk, which are insulating, but then there will be conducting edge states on the boundary. And this will be the edge modes. And of course, we need a full quantum classification. We need a full quantum description of these edge states. And that's the motivation of this talk. So what quantum property, or specifically entanglement property, would characterize these chiral edge states? This is a widely believed like motto, which says that topological phases they are characterized by long range entanglement, and there are extensive number of works starting from like topological entanglement entropy, which 20 years ago, which says that the conditional mutual information in this geometry gives you the topological entanglement entropy, people wonder. How more detailed entanglement measures would give you like more detailed data of topological phases, and one example in this chiral topological order setting is by looking at the entanglement spectrum. So here, you put your topological order on the cylinder, and then you cut it into half, and then you look at the entanglement Hamiltonian, which I denote at Ka, which is the log of the reduced density matrix on A. And this is isomorphic to the CFT Hamiltonian with only left moving modes. And this is the observation of Li and Hadan. And then later, Tu and Qi make use of this observation to derive a concrete formula that gives you a number which they call momentum polarization. And this number would give you like all the chiral, for example, the chiral central charge and the scaling dimensions. And then in like last year, like with Michael Dalatel group, we work on a multipartite entanglement quantity, which is known as the reflected entropy minus the mutual information, and it's the called the Markov gap. And what we find is that given a bulk wave function, and then you calculate the Markov gap, and then you can restore the central charge of the edge theory. But the thing is that this central charge is not the chiral central charge, it's the total central charge of the edge state, which includes both left and right central charge. So it's C left plus C right. But here, as I said before, like we want chiral central charge, so this quantity does not work. But yeah, this serves as a motivation. Okay, so let me step into the main result. So in this talk, we define a new quantity called modular commutator, which is an entanglement measure to detect chirality. And we examine this quantity in three cases. One is in 1 plus 1 DCFT. We give an expression for this quantity. And then we use the CFT result, and by the bulk edge correspondence, we get the bulk result in 2 plus 1 D topological phases, which include like actually two different settings. Now, one is the regions they wind around the boundary, and one is they are in the bulk. But I will show that they are related and they give you the same answer. And finally, in the context of ADS CFT, we can interpret these two eta minus one factor as some crossing angles, and this goes to the more general holographic setting. So here is the definition of the modular commutator. So the reason why we want the modular commutator is that we want it to detect chirality. But chirality is something that is very special because chirality is odd on the time reversal. But like if you want to use entanglement measures, then usual entanglement measures, they are even on the time reversal. And by time reversal, I simply mean that taking the complex conjugation of the reduced density matrix. So usual entanglement measures, they are invariant, so they cannot detect chirality. The best they can do is to detect like the total central charge, which is CO plus CR, as we did with Michael Dalatel. In order to detect chirality, we would need a quantity which we call J that is odd on the time reversal. And this modular commutator actually does the job. The reason why this quantity is called modular commutator is that like you take the log of the density matrix, and this is called the modular Hamiltonian. And then you take the commutator of this modular Hamiltonian, and then you take the expectation value of this commutator on the whole state. So that's the reason why it's called modular commutator. It can be easily seen that this quantity satisfies our basic requirement that it is odd on the time reversal. So you just take the complex conjugation of the, you cannot see the mouse, but yeah, it's very simple. So you just take the reduced density matrix, and then you take the complex conjugation, but complex conjugation is the same as taking the transpose, and the transpose, like the commutator of the transpose, is minus like the transpose of the commutator. You know, like then you switch this transpose and temp commutator, and then finally you get an overall minus sign. So yeah, this quantity is odd on the time reversal, so that potentially could work. And obviously, this quantity is some kind of entanglement quantity. The reason is that, as one can show that, like if we have some classical states, where if rho ABC is just classical mixture on different subsystems, where this pi here denotes a rank one orthogonal projector. So what this means is that this rho ABC, they can just be determined by just flipping coins classically. If that is correct, then obviously JABC equal to zero because it's a commutator, right? So here, like everything commutes, so that doesn't have any quantumness. Two special property of this modular commutator is that first it vanish for pure states. So if you have a pure state, then it indicates that J is equal to zero, and the reason is following. So so the definition of JABC is that it is the commutator of KAB and KBC, and then you take the expectation value. But if you are in a pure state, then by Smith decomposition, the action of a modular Hamiltonian on one part of the system is the same as action of the complement, the modular Hamiltonian of the complement on the same state. So which means that you can substitute this KBC with KA, and you can substitute KAB with KC, but KC and KA obviously commute, so you get zero. So it vanished for a pure state, and that is actually very important. We will make use of that later. And then a non-trivial statement is that it vanished for Markov states, which is a generalization like of classical states. Classical states, they are Markov, but you know, like Markov state, they may not be classical. This conditional mutual information defined as follows, which is greater or equal to zero, and this is called strong stability. If this strong stability is saturated, and then this indicates some special structure of the state, and this special structure of the state is called Markov chain, and this state is called the Markov state, and then this implies J equal to zero. And to see this, we need to use a very non-trivial result, which is derived by Petz, which says that this conditional mutual information equal to zero would imply that the total modular commutator would factorize into local sums. By the way, like if you start with Petz result, and then you can easily see that the mutual information, conditional mutual information equal to zero, like the arrow backward is trivial, but the arrow in the right direction is not trivial. So if you make use of this result, then you calculate JABC, and what you find is that, okay, first we substitute this KAB by KABC plus KB minus KBC, and of course KBC commutator with KBC vanish, so we are left with two terms, which is in the second line. And then these two terms actually vanish, they both vanish. One way to see that is if you look at the first term, and then you use the cyclic property of the trace, and then you realize that you can actually change the order of the commutator, which can take the commutator first, like k commutator with rho, and then you multiply by kbc, and then because k is log rho, so it obviously commutes with rho, so this term, first term, vanish, and the same thing happens for the second term. So this quantity vanish for Markov states, and of course we know that CFT is not Markov, so that potentially that means that this modular commutator would potentially distinguish chiral's CFT on the boundary of the topological order. So far, still we don't make any concrete statement. We are just
So for the second statement, say if I have a pure state which is chiral, then you mean that if we calculate the modular commutator for this state, it's still zero?
Okay, that's a very good point. The point is that you cannot have a pure state, but they are chiral.
I have a very large, like infinite system, can we do that? Then we can do a pure state with chiral, like in an infinite system, say 2D, right?
Yeah, sure. That's a contradiction. Yes, but I will come back to this later. It's a subtle point. Great point. Okay, and actually this slide already answers part of your question. Here I will make the only concrete statement in this talk. This talk is about this formula, which is J equal to pi C minus over 6 times 2 eta minus 1. So the setting is the following. You take a chiral conformal field theory on an infinite line, okay? And then you take ABC in the middle, but they must be contiguous, okay? This is the only restriction. And then you can compute this modular commutator, and the result is what the formula says. And then it depends on a cross ratio, which is not actually very surprising, because you know in CFTs the only invariance is like 4-point invariance is like cross ratio, and then it depends on it's proportional to the chiral central charge. That is also not surprising, because you know on the time reversal CL and CR they change their roles, so it must be like proportional to this quantity, because J is also time reversal odd. And yeah, and these two eta minus one is really the bizarre quantity. And if okay, I will say that later, but to answer your question, I will say it now. Like if you take x1 go to minus infinity and x4 go to plus infinity, which means that you take the whole system, and this gives you eta equal to 1, okay? Eta equal to 1, which means that this j quantity is not 0, and then you find the contradiction. And okay, and I will talk about this, why this doesn't make any contradiction later. But the answer is that for short is that actually this is the most important observation of this talk, that if you take a chiral pure state, then this J quantity is actually not zero. And it's related to gravitational anomaly. Okay, so so before discussing the implication of this formula, let me just derive this formula. So okay, I will use a non-trivial statement from others' work, which is like modular commutator can be derived as like the first order derivative of a modular flow. Okay, so actually this is quite well known in the holography community because there are many conjectures associated with this modular flow. And the modular flow is defined as follows. So you take your reduced density matrix rho ABC, and then you time evolve this reduced density matrix with entanglement Hamiltonian on AB. So this rho AB to the IS, you can write it as at the exponential of the entanglement Hamiltonian times S, which means that the generator is actually the entanglement Hamiltonian. And then after evolving, you take a trace of A, and then you get evolving density matrix on BC. And the good thing of this modular flow is that you can read the modular commutator from this flow. So you take the entanglement entropy, or the von Neumann entropy of this rho BC, and then you take the derivative at s equal to zero, and then what this pops out is the modular commutator. And in order to see it, actually it's very simple to see, because like once you take the derivative, this evolution become a Heisenberg evolution, right, at equal to zero. So so what you just get is some commutator, and in the end this will reduce to the modular commutator. Okay. So okay, in order to use this formula, we need to know like two things. One thing is what is the entanglement entropy in CFT. This is well known. And the second thing is what is the modular flow in CFT. This is also well known. And then yeah, we can derive our result. Okay. So first, what is the modular flow in CFT? The effect of the modular flow is doing nothing but but it's a vector flow. Like you just change your time slice. This is shown in the figure. Okay, let me explain this more carefully. So you have so here you have your time slice. And then for the region AB, what you do is you can draw the causal diamond, which is the domain of dependence of AB. And the modular flow the modular flow is a local flow which can be characterized by this vector field. So this vector field has the form here, where U and V, they are chiral coordinates, which is T plus X and T minus X. And this form is well known, like it's derived from, the Hartle-Hawking state, the Hawking radiation and story, and also the conformal invariance, and this is actually well known. So how this vector field looks like, and when you act this modular flow on your state, what you get is the state on a different time slice. So basically, you just follow the time this vector field, and then your A becomes this its curved line, and your B become B prime this another curved line. Okay, so this is what the modular flow is doing, and then we want the entanglement entropy of BC, right? So we are comparing the entanglement entropy here, BC, and the entanglement entropy here, B prime C. Okay, so of course these two have different entanglement entropies, and that's why this modular commutator could be non-trivial. And in order to derive it, we just need to use the entanglement entropy formula. Okay, this sounds less familiar. Okay, this entanglement entropy is not the usual one we use, because here we are assuming we have different left and right central charge, so we actually have to be a little bit careful. So here CL and CR, they are the chiral central charges, and then we need the v coordinate and the u coordinate for this point and for this point. We take the difference square, and then we divide it over some UV cutoff. And here, to make it more general, like the UV cutoff is actually also depend on the point. So you can have a UV cutoff on this point and a different UV cutoff at this point. And at each point, we also make the distinction that the UV cutoff in the V direction and the UV cutoff in the U direction, they could be different. So here, this is what epsilon V2 and epsilon U2 mean. Okay, so this formula, okay, does this make sense? So for chiral theory, if you want to compute the entanglement entropy, you need much more data. You need like U and V direction, and you need different UV cutoff. You need to specify the UV cutoff in each direction. And that is just a generalization of the usual Cauchy-Calabrese formula. Like, you can check that if this epsilon, they are all equal, and this U and V, they are equal. Like V4 equal to U4 and V2 equal to U3. V2 equal to U2, then this would reduce to the original like C over 3 log L over epsilon. Okay. We just need another thing. Okay. So this SBC, it depends on so many parameters. We have a modular flow, and what this modular flow does is first, it changes V2 and U2, right? But it cannot change V4 and U4, because this point is out of the caudal diamond, so this modular flow does not act on it. And then it does not also change this UV cutoff, because just doesn't affect this point. But one important observation is that this modular flow actually changed the UV cutoff in this U and V direction. And in order to see it, actually, just remember that a Lorentz boost would rescale U and V direction differently. And here, actually, if this X2 is not exactly in the middle, then by following this modular flow, you always develop a local boost angle that, this slide is no longer like the same as the X direction. So you always get this angle, boosting angle, and this boosting angle directly gives you the change of the UV cutoff in these two directions, in these U and V directions at position like at point X2. So just combining all this data, then we can derive our main result, which is this one. Okay, so this is the derivation. If you want more details, ask me later. But I think this is pretty clear right now. Then I will talk about the implication. So this actually a very peculiar, a very peculiar dependence with 2 eta minus 1. And this is the main discovery of this paper. So first peculiar thing is that this thing does not respect the crossing symmetry. So usually, like the four-point correlation functions would respect the crossing symmetry, which means that you can change eta to minus eta, one minus eta. So but this quantity actually changes sign under eta go to one minus eta. So this means that this quantity you cannot write it as a four-point correlation functions. One very peculiar property, as you point out, is that this J quantity actually goes to some universal value, not zero, as x1 go to minus infinity or x4 go to plus infinity. And an equivalent way to see it is that you take this b to shrink to zero. If you take b to shrink to zero, then you know, like this a, kab and kbc, they should commute. But actually they don't. So you still get this non-zero topological value, which is pi c minus over 6. So this is very peculiar, and it's actually related to the gravitational anomaly. But before that, just want to mention that by conformal transformation, you can easily generalize, you know, the formula to finite size system or finite temperature system. Just need to like, you know, you substitute this eta cross ratio to the following form. And yeah, this is just you know, normal conformal transformation story. So here is the apparent contradiction that if CL does not equal to CR, in this for pure state, this J does not seem to be zero. And so what's wrong? The answer is this means that chiral CFD does not admit a lattice regularization. What this means is that you cannot really, like, using the normal entanglement axiom for chiral CFD. For example, in this part, you cannot substitute KAB with KC and KBC with KA because you don't have a tensor product structure anymore. So that's a peculiar fact, and this is the only, like, you know, the only possible reason for this contradiction. So this means chiral CFD cannot admit a lattice regularization. But this doesn't mean that our formula is not well defined, because, you know, entanglement here, you can still define entanglement, but this entanglement is actually frame dependent, and one way to say the frame dependent is that in the previous page, this formula is also frame dependent. It depends on specific coordinate u and v, so it really depends on what you call v and what you call u. This is a fact of this chiral theory, and it's related to gravitational anomaly. So yeah, it really depends on what you call x, what you call t, what you call u, and what you call v. So what do we mean by gravitational anomaly? Like, gravitational anomaly means that stress tensor does not conserve in curved spacetime, and in one dimensional CFT, exactly it is CL minus CR. So there's actually an alternative argument for this chiral CFT cannot admit a lattice regularization. The argument is given by this new paper, which says that actually in a chiral conformal field theory, if you can really put it on a lattice, then there's no conformal boundary condition, because in a chiral conformal field theory you have a net energy flow either from left to right or right to left. But then if you have an energy flow, then this energy must be absorbed on the boundary. So then this means that the boundary cannot be conformal invariant. So there's no conformal boundary condition. But on the lattice, you can always terminate the interaction somewhere, which means that on the lattice, there must be some conformal boundary condition. So here, like, apparently we get a contradiction. So this means that we do not have a lattice regularization.
Boundary condition, you mean the boundary of the CFT?
Yes, right. Yeah, so you put it on a finite chain. Then there are some boundaries on the left and right? But that cannot exist because, you know, you have net energy flow.
Right. Yeah. And another question is, so in the previous page, you talk about the modular flow. It seems the modular flow can already distinguish the right mover and the left mover. So why you define this new quantity?
The modular flow this can be defined for non-chiral CFT, right?
Yeah. So can you distinguish the CL and CR?
No.
I see.
No, it's just, you know, this universal form modular flow.
So then why is derivative can respond to different?
Oh, actually, it's because this entanglement entropy, they encode chirality, you know, like this has dependence on CL and CR. So yeah, and then the response of entanglement entropy is actually sensitive to the change of, like, directions here, the change of your frame here and here, and that's why. Yeah, that's why you can distinguish left and right using this entropy.
I see.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, what this means is that we do not really have a chiral CFT on the lattice, but then what do we do with this formula? Like, is this formula correct? Like, can we check it on the lattice? And the answer is yes. One way to check it is not to consider a chiral CFT, actually. It's actually consider a non-chiral CFT, but with different left and right temperatures. And this is known as grand canonical ensemble in the holography community. And so you have you split your Hamiltonian, CFT Hamiltonian, into right moving part and left moving part, but you give different temperatures. And what this means is that you still, you know, like you still have non-zero energy flow, but this state can be defined on the boundary. And actually, we did numerics, like given a free fermion state, you know, a free fermion CFT, and then you just give different temperatures for the left moving mode and right moving mode, and you can construct the correlation matrix on your computer, and you can compute this this modular commutator. That's fine because you have left and right moving modes, okay. Okay, so the modular commutator here, would be a difference of the eta for the left moving mode and the right moving mode, and as we have before, this eta actually depends on the temperature. This formula, okay, eta depends on temperature. So if you give different temperature for left and right moving modes, you actually have different etas. So that's why. This quantity could be non-zero, and we have checked many instances, and it's actually very perfect for this free fermion CFT. So that's one way to check it on a lattice. The other way to check this on a lattice is not to consider a single time slice, but you consider some Cauchy surface. This is also for a non-chiral CFT. So for a Cauchy surface, you can still define this modular flow, and then you can derive the modular commutator as before, and then the final result is actually anticipated because, you know, it's just a generalization of the previous formula. You just need to have a different cross ratio for the in the v direction and in the u direction. So in this case, because you are not on a single time slice, then the cross ratio eta v and eta u could be different. So this formula is non-trivial. Oh, sorry, it's non-trivial even for a non-chiral CFT. And you know, you just cancel the minus one and you get the formula. So this is another way to check that on a lattice. You just do a non-uniform time evolution of the ground state and check the modular commutator. But we didn't do that because, you know, it's very hard to do numerics for this in on the lattice, like this type of non-uniform dynamics on the lattice. So we didn't check it, but this is the prediction. And as we see, this prediction will be there will be some, you know, some application in holography. Okay.
So do you mean you put the CFT on the Cauchy surface?
Yes.
And then previously, you put the CFT on the flat or cylinder?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and the way to realize this, this Cauchy surface is you do non-uniform time evolution, and that is hard to do on lattice. It's in principle you can do that. Okay. Next, I will jump into topological order story. And in this story, what we have is a very simple formula that if you have ABC on the edge of a quantum Hall state, or like XYZ in the bulk of the topological order, then this modular commutator just gives you the central charge of the edge state, a chiral central charge of the edge state. Okay, in order to derive it, actually, this is a very straightforward derivation. Like, take your edge state, okay? So take your quantum Hall state, and then you look at the edge. And then it's like by the momentum polarization story, like this 2 and G derived in 2013, then they say that this edge state density matrix is nothing but the chiral thermal state that we just defined. You just give different temperature for left and right moving mode. So for left moving mode, you are on the outer boundary, which means you are in a ground state. And for right moving mode, it's actually in a finite temperature state. But if you take the thermodynamic limit, then you effectively you can treat this temperature as the infinite temperature. But infinite temperature is a limit. It's not strictly infinite. So then this J would be, you know, the same as the chiral thermal state that we have before. And in this case, for the left wing mode, because you are in a ground state, then what you have is the ground state eta, like which is defined in this way. And for the right wing mode, because beta r like equal to zero, then because x12 is strictly smaller than x13 and x34 is strictly smaller than x24, then this eta must be zero. So you just cancel the second term. So this is what you get. Okay, it's very clean formula, and we can actually do numerics on 2 plus 1D system. So on the left hand side, you know, you see like it's very there are actually 4,000 points on this line, and they all match. And then on the right hand side, we show how this how the data point is affected by broadening, you know, the broadening the width of ABC into the bulk. So it's anticipated that, you know, in the limit where this the width of ABC and the length of ABC is larger than the correlation length, this formula would be exact. And actually it's the case, and we see an exponentially decay with the width. And well, you know, this is finite correlation length behavior, so that's typical. So in the end, by combining this left moving mode and right moving mode, we get a prediction of quantum Hall states. Okay, so how robust is this? How robust is this? Does this really does this really depend on the shape of ABC? The answer is actually no. So we show that it's actually topological robust, that you can do all these five perturbation of the regions. Like we can choose this A to be slightly into the bulk, or you can choose B to slightly into the bulk, or like you can choose to enlarge A, like but cancel some B. Like, you know, you can do everything here, but all of them does not change the modular commutator. And furthermore, if ABC fills the whole annulus, which means that eta equal to one, then we can show a stronger result, which is first, this JABC equals to the bulk JXYZ, and minus the bulk JXYZ. This is the first result. And the second result, related result, is that you can actually, like, if you choose A to be a union of A prime plus X, and B union B to be this, and C to be C prime and Z, and then you can actually do any unitary on UABC, UA prime, B prime, C prime, then this actually does not change the modular commutator either. And the reason to see that is that the derivation of this formula does not really depend that you put a unitary on the boundary. So then what you do is, you know, like all the JABC on the boundary must equal to the bulk quantity. So it must be independent of the boundary unitary that you act. So that's the rough argument. And the way to show it is to use entanglement bootstrap techniques that Bowen, Shi, and Isaac Kim developed in recent years. I will not go into detail about this. I will just tell you the concept, and you will hear more this week by Mac Gravy. Okay. So the idea is that the entanglement bootstrap is a systematic approach to understand entanglement in 2 plus 1D topological order. And it's just based on two axioms, which says that given a bulk region, and then you satisfy this axiom that the entanglement entropies, you know, satisfy these equalities. And then from this, you can actually derive many, many things about topological order, because this A0 and A1 axiom, they generate a set of quantum Markov chains, and Markov chains are very powerful in quantum information. So actually these two axioms are very powerful, and they have been used to derive many, many properties like Fusion rules of the anions and the Wellington formula, and, you know, and all the gap domain walls, so on. And probably Mike Gravy will tell you about this tomorrow. Okay, and the key is that if there is a boundary, then you do not actually need actual axioms about the boundary, and you just need these two axioms in the bulk. And using this set of techniques, I don't go to detail, but if you want to ask me, we can talk about that later. So from these two axioms, we can derive the robustness result, this one, and also these two results. Okay, like all the result can be derived, all the robustness result can be understood in terms of entanglement bootstrap. But I want to emphasize one drawback of this approach, which is this really depends on the Markov chain structure. And actually, this A1 is exactly a Markov chain structure. But Markov chains and approximate Markov chains, they are very different. Because for Markov chains, you can have a bunch of structures, you know, exact structures that you know how to write down. But for approximate quantum Markov chains, which means that you substitute this zero by epsilon, you can never do that. So all the derivation would fail, even if you have exponentially small corrections to these axioms. But in a realistic system, like you always have finite correlation lengths, so this they are not always exactly zero. So this argument actually fails. But regardless of that, it has been a very successful method. So we just believe in this interminable bootstrap approach, and actually this result also agree very well with the numerics that we have. So this would be fine. Okay, so I'm finished with the condensed matter story, and then
does this quantity related to topological entanglement entropy?
No,
in proper standard formula looks like that.
Oh, okay. You mean this A0 and A1, right? Yeah, it's exactly the area law, like AL minus gamma, the local form of this.
I see.
Yeah, and of course, you know that topological entropy can be violated, right? You have spurious topological entropy, and this is where also this would fail. Okay. So finally, I will go into holography. Okay. So I will be a little bit brief here, because most of the audience are condensed matter, but the result is the following. So the meaning of space-time are different, okay? On the real line, you still have the space, but this is a single time slice of the space, okay? But on this direction, on this vertical direction, it's not time, okay? It's the bulk. It's the bulk, and where the bulk is ADS, okay? It's ADS space-time. And this is actually a single time slice of ADS space-time. And what we do, is that given ABC on the real line, and you draw the RT surface of AB and RT surface of BC, and then you have a crossing angle, and then the conclusion is that this modular commutator is given by cosine of this crossing angle. And this actually should be very obvious for those who are familiar with holography, but since we are condensed matter, I will give a brief introduction of holography. So a holographic duality, at least in this ADS3 CFT2 correspondence, means a duality between 1 plus 1 dimensional large N CFT and a 2 plus 1 dimensional semi-classical gravity in asymptotic ADS spacetimes. And the duality dictionary is given by, first, a CFT state will be due to a semi-classical geometry, which means a metric. And not all states are due to semi-classical geometry, but there are some states which are due to semi-classical geometry. And for example, the ground state will due to the vacuum ADS, which is a geometry. And then a thermal state and even the chiral thermal state that we just defined will be due to a BTZ black hole with some angular momentum. If for chiral state, then it will be due to a rotating BTZ black hole which has some angular momentum. So this is on the level of states. And then on the level of symmetries, global conformal symmetries, they are due to the isometry of ADS. So they are both the symmetries of the space-time and the conformal, and the conformal field theory. And then there's a conformal anomaly, which is single charge, and it's due to the ADS curvature. And finally, as shown most prominent work of Yu Takanagi, the entanglement entropy will be due to the area of RT surface, and the modular Hamiltonian will be due to the area operator, and this is the result of JLMS. I didn't remember their last name, but it's okay. Okay, so in this talk, I will care about the RT formula and JLMS formula, and the RT formula is the following. The most simplest version is this. Okay, so take the single time slice of ADS, which is the hyperbolic plane, and the metric is given on the right-hand side, okay? Z direction is the vertical direction, X direction is the horizontal direction, so you see there is some divergence, as you approach the boundary, and that's the feature of asymptotic ADS. And this This RT surface, they are given by the minimal surface, which is the minimal surface that the surface with minimal area, and the area is defined as, you know, the integration of the proper length in this 1+1D in this 1+1D setting, there's a correction, O1 correction, which will not be important in this talk, but the point is that you have an order G Newton term in the entropy, which is given by the area, and then you have some O1 correction, and then you have some order G Newton correction, which can be can be neglected safely. Okay, and here the JOMS conjecture further, they regard this area as an operator. The reason why you can regard this as an operator is that the bulk is supposed to be a quantum gravity theory, which means that this G mu nu would be a quantum operator. So this area would also become some sort of operator. And if you look at the entanglement entropy, you know, like the entanglement entropy is nothing but the expectation value of the entanglement Hamiltonian. So what they conjecture is then the entanglement Hamiltonian on a region should in an operator sense equals to the area operator. Okay, and there is some bulk correction which is order one. So we are neglecting order one terms here. But if you just like look at the entanglement Hamiltonian on the boundary, it would equal to the area operator in the bulk. Okay, so the conclusion is the following: modular commutator, which is the commutator of the modular Hamiltonian, they should equal to the commutator of area operator in the bulk, because you know they are the same. But of course, up to order one corrections here, right? So this is exactly the case. So you know, like in this modular commutator case, we have like this general Cauchy-Schlitz formula, which compute the modular commutator, and then Kaplan and Morov this year they have a paper calculate the classical Poisson bracket of the area operator using pure gravitational derivation. And if you look at these two formula, and then by the classical result that relates central charge with the ADS radius, you find exactly the same, right? They are exactly the same. So this is good. So we can reproduce like a semi-classical gravitational result by just doing CFT calculation. Okay. But what about the chiral theory? So remember that this is non-chiral theory. But then what about the chiral theory? Well, chiral theory, we have these two eta minus one, two eta minus one term, and actually, as a simple geometric calculation shows, that these two eta minus one is nothing but cosine theta of the crossing angle, and moreover, if you have a BdZ black hole in the bulk, which means that you have a thermal state on the boundary, then this cosine theta would be 2 eta effective minus 1. And remember the eta effective, which is at finite temperature. So just using these two examples, this is the conjecture that this modular commutator would correspond to the cosine angle, you know, on the bulk, in the bulk. So, but that is a conjecture, and it's only rigorously proved, you know, in this contiguous region, and also for the vacuum and the BdZ black hole solution. So there's more to be said here. The statement are not rigorous. Here, this one is rigorous. Okay. Okay. So what does this mean? So in chiral ADS CFT, actually, the modular Hamiltonian is still due to some geometric operator. It's not the area operator anymore, but it's still geometric. I'm not going into detail. But what this means is that because you have modular commutator, which is the commutator and is not equal to zero, this means that you must have some uncertainty relations, right? So just using the dual, like this k would be dual to f, to some geometric operator f. So the commutator of this k would give you the uncertainty relation of this f, and this means that you cannot measure this this geometric operator simultaneously for a chiral ADS CFT setting, given that this cosine theta is not zero. So this becomes a pure quantum gravity statement. So yeah, which could be verified using gravity techniques. Okay, so here's the end of my talk. So we have defined a modular commutator. This is an integral measure to detect chirality. And for ground state of 1 plus 1 d Hamiltonian, this is equal to this formula. And actually, this is the only take-home message of this talk. And then we use this formula to compute the same quantity in the topological phase, and we found a universal and also robust detection of chiral edge. And then on the holographic side, you have crossing angles of RT surface, and we conjecture that it's due to the modular commutator on the boundary. And there are lots of open questions. And this talk, as you say, as you can see, like this is divided into three subfields. So the first one is CFT, and the second one is topological order, and then the third one is gravity. So we have many questions that could be an extension of this work. So, but I will just leave it here. That's all.
So, in your like the correspondence, mm-hmm. so the operator correspond to the area, which mm-hmm. is integration of G mu nu.
Mm-hmm.
So, since the in ADS-FT G mu nu corresponds to the stress tensor, can we write the your operator J as an integration of stress tensor, something like that?
Yes, that's expected.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, J is actually some commutator of stress tensor. Yes. That's...
About the second part about this entangled bootstrap.
Mm-hmm.
If you consider any exposure is small correction in the axion, then is there any way to control like what is the correction for the model commutator for the final result? Or
yeah, we cannot.
Shouldn't we just expect you should just add some that the exposure small correction in terms of this in the expression of model commutator? Is that
that cannot be proved, but that's what we observe numerically.
Numerically, absolutely.
Yes.
Well, in the CFT calculation, is the order of ABC important? If you flip, for example, B and C, do you get the same result?
Sorry, you mean the intervals are what?
Here, A and B are the neighboring. So
neighboring, okay.
If you, for example, order A, C, B in this order,
mm-hmm.
The modular commutator, the quantity J still gives the same result?
Then we don't know about the result. Yeah, presumably it will change. Okay, and actually this quantity is not symmetric under the exchange of ABC. Well, it's only like symmetric under exchange C with A, which is trivial. Otherwise, you don't have any symmetries. And in fact, this is an open question. In the final slide, the first question is just. This question, which is beyond contiguous intervals. So this is not known because then the modular flow is not local anymore. We cannot do the derivation. But why do I list in the gravity side? Because in gravity side there could be some simplification that possibly still this modular flow can be decomposed into local sums. But that is a question for holography.
So in your numerical simulation, did you simulate the quantum hole?
Interior quantum hole, actually.
Oh,
so this is an open question. So like for fractional quantum hole, we believe that our result is still true. We cannot do simulation with that. But we are working on that. But then, in fractional quantum hole, there is actually a more subtle point which you can actually add an anion flux through the cylinder, and then this actually would make a difference if the anion is non-abelian. It could make a difference. It could change the formula. So we don't know that yet, and it's going to we are trying to explore that numerically.
More questions from audience? Yeah, if not, then that's tangled speaker again.